Okay, well, we're looking at learning how to pray this morning. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 10. And I'll let you work out why I'm using this passage in a moment. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Did I say where I was reading from at the beginning? I did. Oh, good. If you missed it like I did, it's Luke 11, verse 1. Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Learning how to pray. What different ways of communicating can you think of? Give me a different way of communicating. Text. Email. Smoke signal. Sign language. Body language. What did you say? Foreign language. Horse head. Horse head. No, Morse code. Morse code. Sorry, it's not a horse's head on this side. It's Morse code. Postal messages. Oh, flags. What's it called? How come you all know that and I don't? Very good. Okay, I think I'm going to stop there. Different ways of communicating. What is prayer? Prayer is, as we've already talked about, communication. Now, the dictionary, if you read the dictionary, says it's talking to God. But it's actually, I think, any communication with God is prayer. It is, as was said earlier, it's a two-way thing as we listen to God. Does God pray to... I'm not sure he does, so maybe prayer from the dictionary's point of view is right, that it's more us speaking to God. But prayer we think about as not just us speaking, but us listening as well to what God wants to say to us. And I would define it as communication with God in some way. Can we agree on that? Communication with God. So speaking and listening. Is it just speaking and listening? No, we can write down things as well. A prayer can be written to God, can't it? As we write something down that we want to say to God, and we put it in that form as well. So I think prayer can be in different forms, but it's about communicating. The heart of the person is to communicate with God through whatever means we choose to do that. Through speaking, through singing a prayer, through writing the prayer. It's communicating with God and being open to God speaking to us and communicating with us as well. That is our definition of prayer. Why is it important? You know the question box over here, when I've had some people have, underneath the seats, there's little plastic wallets every now and again, and bits of paper and pens in them. And some people have been making use of them, and they've been writing questions on them. And one of the questions that was in the question box the other week was, why do we pray? Why do we pray? There's actually quite a few of the questions were about prayer that have come in so far. Why do we pray? Why is it important? Well, again, it was touched on near the beginning by Richard that prayer is about relationship, ultimately. It's about developing a relationship with God and building that relationship. So which one of us would have a friend and never speak to them? Which one of us would want a relationship with somebody but never talk to them? Of course we'd talk to them. Of course we'd listen to them. That's how you build relationship and develop relationship. So why is it important? Well, it's not important if you don't want to know God and if you don't want anything to do with him and you don't want to be his friend. But if you profess to be a Christian and you want to grow in relationship with God and get to know him, then prayer is obviously important because it's that communication. Because God wants us to do it is another reason. He encouraged us to do it and taught us to do it and to do it regularly. And Jesus himself prayed regularly. And as I said with the baptism message the other week, if it's good enough for him, if Jesus needed to pray, and who prayed more than Jesus? I doubt many people. But if Jesus felt the need to do that, to pray regularly, to set time aside to pray daily as he did, then surely we do too. And does it make a difference? Well, actually, I did a survey of Christians and asked, do you think prayer makes a difference? I was going to use a PowerPoint, so I'm not going to bother with it, but having surveyed people, the majority of people said, yes, prayer makes a difference. It made a difference to them. So most people feel that it works and it makes a difference. So why is it important? Because it does make a difference. Without prayer, and if we don't pray, we're kind of telling God, it's okay, we can handle things without you. We don't need you, God, we can do this on our own. But when we pray, we're showing a reliance on God, and we're saying we do need you, and we want your help in our life. So it's important for all of those kind of reasons. Now, today, what I'm doing with this subject, learning how to pray, is remember this series called Basic Christianity. So what I'm sharing with you today, I've done lots of talks and sermons on prayer over the years, and some of them go into great depth and detail. And this isn't meant to today. This is meant to be basic and simple, but reminding us of some simple truths. And as I've been going through this and just thinking about this for today, it's been challenging me again. And I hope it'll do the same for you, just as we go back to basics with this. How should we pray? Another question that was in the box, how can I be better at talking to Jesus? That was a question someone asked. How can I be better at talking to Jesus? So how should we pray? Well, the passage we just read shows us it's a time when Jesus' disciples came to him and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So John's disciples had obviously had the same problem. John's disciples had wanted to know how to pray better, how to commune with God better, to talk with God and listen to God better. They'd struggled with it. And they'd gone to John and said, John, teach us how to pray. So Jesus' disciples, in the same way, they say to Jesus, Jesus, teach us how to pray. So is it wrong to want to learn how to pray? The whole title today is learning how to pray. Is it wrong? No, it's not. There's things that can help us in learning how to pray. It's a legitimate question. It's a question that someone put in our box. It's a question that you may have had at times. How many of us think we have got prayer down and we are so good at it, there's nothing else to learn? Hands up. Even less people than are coming to the game show. So his disciples ask Jesus and say, teach us how to pray. And he teaches them. Now I'm expecting a big long message here from Jesus talking to his disciples, and it isn't. It's very simple, isn't it, really? It's very simple, and of course, not everything is recorded that Jesus ever said, and not all his teaching will be recorded. But what God felt was important, what Luke felt was important, what Jesus obviously felt was important, was that this simple prayer sets out a pattern for us, sets out something for us that we can learn from. And it's that simple prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer that just starts, "Our Father. Teach us how to pray." And he starts with, "Our Father, who's in heaven." In a simple way, talking to God as our Father. It's not meant to be complicated. I think sometimes we complicate it. It's not meant to be. We'll come back to that Lord's Prayer in a little while. But other ways in which he taught us to pray. He taught us to pray, and in the passage we read about there, he taught us to pray boldly. Because we wouldn't want to come to our dad, as I said the other week in one of the other talks I did, we wouldn't want to come like, "Dad, oh, I'm sorry, dad, please can I come and talk to you?" We wouldn't want to be like that coming to our dad. We'd want to come to our dad like understanding that our dad loves us and come boldly to him because he's provided a way through Jesus for us to be in relationship with him. So we can come and say, "Hey, dad, can I talk to you about this?" We can come boldly, but we also come humbly. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." We come humbly, not like, remember the false images sketch I did a few weeks ago? Not like, "Hey dad, give me this, give me that, I want the other." Come respectfully and come humbly, understanding who we're talking to. Yes, he's our Father, but he's also the great, awesome God, creator of the universe. The all-powerful and majestic. So come humbly before him, but boldly before him. A balance of those things as we come and pray. And also in that passage we read, come and be persistent in prayer. I think far too many of us pray something, we don't see it happen just as we want, and we go, "What's the point in praying then?" And we give up on prayer. Sometimes we even give up on God. People do, don't they? But be persistent in prayer. Jesus taught us that on a number of occasions we read in the gospel about being persistent and keep praying. And also not babbling. There's another place it talks about not babbling to God and not being kind of going on with long prayers and trying to word them all in a certain way that makes us sound really good at praying. And someone else feels like, "Oh, I'm no good at that," so they don't feel they can pray. It's a conversation. Who here has ever spoken to anybody? Yes, we all have. Well, I hope you have anyway. You're not putting your hand up, but I hope you have. We all talk. We all can talk. Some of us are better at talking than others. And it's meant to be that conversation. We can all do it. And prayer isn't meant to be lots of big words. Sometimes I think about my own prayers, and I'm critical of myself when I pray sometimes for perhaps overcomplicating it. And some of it's little picked up habits that you get. You think about your own prayers a minute when you pray, especially when we pray out loud. I think we do this a bit more if we pray out loud sometimes, but and you might be praying a prayer like, it might go something like this. "And Lord, I pray that this will happen. And I pray for this person. And I just want to pray for this as well. And I pray for that." When I'm talking to you, if I'm talking to Hannah here, I want to say to Hannah, "Hey, Hannah, I just want to talk and say that that's a nice dress you're wearing. And I just want to say that your hair's nice today. And I just want to talk and ask you, can we do this? And I just want to talk and say that." Do you see what I'm doing? We don't necessarily need to tell God that we're praying all the time in the prayer. I pray this, I pray that, I pray the other. That's like saying, "I talk this, I talk that, I talk the other." But it's language that we use that we pick up on. As we pray, it's not wrong. It's just not necessary because it's a conversation in the same way as we might talk with someone else. So sometimes it would be good for us to stop and think about that. Think about when we're praying, what are we doing? We're talking to God. Because sometimes I think we can just get into the routine of praying in a certain way that we're used to. And it's not wrong, but it would help us to think about what we're doing if we think about it a bit more that way. Do you understand what I mean? So how should we pray? We've talked about what can we pray about? Well, anything. Thanks, praise, requests. We can repent, say sorry to God. We can share our hurts and when we're sad, and we can share our joys when we're happy. God is interested in every aspect of our life, and we can talk to him about all of that. Are there such things as legitimate and illegitimate prayers? Okay, answer me this. Is it a legitimate prayer? Well, who thinks that there is legitimate and illegitimate prayers? If you think there is illegitimate prayers, can you put your hand up? Oh, some people. Okay, can we have one or two examples of illegitimate prayers? Dave?
Pray for something selfish, something, on a Friday. Please God give me a Friday.
Okay. Ian, I think you had your hand up as well.
Pray and hate on someone.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple of examples that have been given. Don't know what you think about that. Are they illegitimate prayers? What about this one? God, I pray that Everton beat Crystal Palace this afternoon. No chance. All things are possible with God. I'll pray harder and persistently. I've got a few hours left. Is that a legitimate prayer? How likely is God to answer my prayer? Do you think if Everton win, it's because God has done it and I should thank God for letting Everton win? What about the Crystal Palace fan who's also praying that their team will win this morning? How does God decide? Who does he support most? Be a draw, yeah, probably. So, yeah, maybe legitimate and illegitimate are not the right words, I'm not sure, but I think we need to think about what we're praying and asking for, because sometimes, do you know how do we determine that? Well, one of the things he said, Jesus taught us, is to pray in his name. Whatever you ask for in my name. What does that mean? The way that we interpret it quite often is that we finish our prayers with, and I do this as well, in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Yes? But does it actually mean that if we forget to tag that on our prayer, it doesn't happen? And if we tag that on our prayer at the end, it does, like it's a magic word or something, or a magic sentence? No, of course not. It doesn't mean that. I think it means, are we praying in accordance with what God's will and God's heart would be? And so, going back to the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thine. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's praying according to what God's heart and God's will would be. Do we always know that? No, we don't always know what God's heart and God's will be. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we just have to pray, Lord, I pray this, yet not my will but yours. You remember who did that? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we pray, but think about what we're praying. And is this something that would be on God's heart as well? Is this something I can ask for that would be in his name? I can ask for in his... Now, some things can be just what we particularly want. And if it's for our well-being or someone else's well-being, then would God want to bless people? Well, yes, generally he would do. There may be reasons why he doesn't that we may not know about. And we've always got to be open because, you know, God knows far more than we do in situations. But what can we pray about? virtually anything we can pray about, but within that reason of, within those kind of boundaries, I would say. How does God speak to us is the next thing I've got here. Another question that was in my box. Why is it so difficult to hear God even when we're trying to follow him? We're earnestly seeking to follow God. Why is it so difficult sometimes to hear God? How do we hear him, listen to him? One can be in silence. Do you know another question that I had on the questionnaire that I did with over 200 Christians I did this survey with? I was going to show you the results today, but it would just take too long. And I don't want this to be another 45-minute one today. But over 200 people. And do you know the thing that people said that they would like to see most, the method of prayer in services that people would like to see most, the top answer was silence. Just having a time of silence. Just to be quiet before God, to be still and know that he's God. And I think there's something in that that maybe we need to. Someone else wrote, I don't want to come to church to be quiet. I can do that at home. But having times of silence, and whether that's in church, and I think there's definitely a place for that, that maybe we need to do a little bit more of. I know it can be awkward and you feel like, well, we're all together here, why we be? But it can be good just to sit in God's presence quietly. I think the only time we generally tend to do it would be during communion for a time. And even then, sometimes we might have some music playing while we do communion, which I think is good and helps us reflect sometimes, but it's good to have times of just silence as well before God. But it's also in our own lives, not just in church, just to sit silently and quietly before God, not thinking about other things, but concentrating, thinking about God and what he might be saying to us, maybe after a time of just reading scripture and thinking about it. Maybe after praying and then just sitting quietly and waiting on God. So being still, how does God speak to us? Well, do we ever give him chance to? Do we ever stop and listen? Through the Bible is another way that God speaks to us, of course. So he speaks to us in his word. What else? He sometimes speaks to us through other people, you know, as well. So it isn't always when someone says something that that's from God. But it can be. God can speak to us through other people and what they say, and even through creation and through different circumstances, although we've got to be careful with that one, that we don't read God into it to suit us and make it what we want it to be. But sometimes things can happen and God can be speaking to us through them. We always need to be open to those things. Sometimes God will say yes to us and answer our prayer in an affirmative way that we want. And sometimes he'll say no. And we say, well, why haven't you answered? Well, he has answered. He's just said no. Or he said wait for now. We might not like the answer, but that's what it is for now. Sometimes it seems God hasn't spoken. And we're not hearing God. And there's times, even as we read the Bible, where it says there wasn't many prophecies in those days, or there wasn't many ways in which people were finding it hard to hear God in those times. And sometimes it can be difficult, but all I can say is on those times when you are struggling, don't give up on God or think he's not there, but continue to walk in faith. Sometimes as we walk along, it's very clear and we know where we're going, and then sometimes a fog comes, a mist comes, and we can't see where we're going, and we don't know what the next step is. And God, where are you in this? I can't see you anymore, and I don't know where I'm going. And God says to us, just keep walking as you were. I haven't left you. I'm always with you. Don't worry in the midst of the mist and the fog and everything else. Just keep walking in faith with me. And that's what we've got to do. Has he ever answered your prayer? Anyone ever had an answered prayer? Put your hand up if you think God has answered a prayer at some point for you. Okay, just you saw how many hands went up then. That people believe that God does hear and answer the prayers. I put my hand up too. I know that he has done. And there's many of us here that recognize that God has answered our prayers. So yes, he does, and does speak to us in different ways. We should share those stories with each other more, those testimonies with each other more, because it encourages us to know. Because when he's not speaking to us at the moment, or when we're feeling a bit distant, it can help us to know that, yeah, he's still very much there and he's answering other people. It might be frustrating for us at that time, but our time will come, and it kind of goes that way sometimes. And we must remember to thank him. What stops us praying? Another question in the box. Why do we find prayer so hard? Someone says. What stops us praying? Instinct to read another passage, which is that passage in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus and his disciples are there. And Jesus goes with his disciples and he says, right, you just wait here. I just want you to pray. And I'm going over there to pray just by myself a bit. But I want you to pray here. Yeah, okay, Jesus. So he goes over to pray. He prays for a bit. He prays that prayer I was talking about before. Not my will, but yours, God. And he comes back over, and the disciples are asleep. And that happens 3 times. The disciples struggled with praying. They asked for God's help with it earlier on, and here now they struggle. Why were they struggling that day? Probably just because of tiredness was probably one of the reasons, yeah? Just because of tiredness and weariness. Anyone ever struggled to pray because they've been tired or weary? Yep. Okay, so we sometimes struggle because we're tired and weary. We get too busy and we find it hard. And what loses out? Our relationship with God. What is the most important thing in a Christian's life? Our relationship with God. Who's Lord of our life as Christians? Jesus. Who do we sometimes stop speaking to as much or communing with as much when life gets busy? Jesus. It's kind of the wrong way around, isn't it? And I guess that some of that comes down then to priorities as well in our life, which only we can answer. But what stops us praying? Tiredness, busyness, sometimes sin. Let's be honest. Sometimes we do stuff wrong. And we don't feel like we can come and talk to God because of it. We're kind of embarrassed about it. Or we kind of feel a bit more distant from him because we know that we're doing something wrong. And it makes it harder to pray when we're doing something wrong. My daughter, when she was younger, did not come and enjoy having conversations with me if she knew she'd done something wrong. She usually went in another room. Yeah? And that's the way we are. So what should we do in those circumstances? We need to go and say sorry and make up. And then we can restore that relationship again. And prayer becomes easier again. What stops us praying? A lack of faith sometimes. Not believing it's going to make any difference. And like I said, priorities. There's a guy called Richard Rohr. He says, God's name, Yahweh, should be articulated in our breathing. Yah. In, way, out. Yah, way. As we live and breathe, it should be as natural as that, our communion with God and talking with God. Yah, in, way, out. You can practice later. What stops us praying? Well, what could help us pray then? Practice. Relationship. How do we get better at talking with God, spending time talking with God? As you build relationship and get closer to him, it becomes easier in that conversation and talking with him. Patience, and that patience and persistence. Some people like to use something called prayer paths. What are these? P, praise. A, we're spelling paths here. P, praise. Start with some praise. A, admit your own faults and failings and weaknesses. God, you're wonderful. I'm not so wonderful. P and A. And then T, thank God. But thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me and I can come to you. Thank you for this lovely day. Thank you for my family. Hear God. Get this, the H comes before the S. Hear God. Just listen to God. Before we get our bit in, listen to what he might want to say to us. We often do it the other way around, don't we? And get too tired for the second bit. But listen to God. And then speak. And ask God for anything that might be on our heart. Praise, admit, thank, hear, speak, paths, prayer paths. Some people like to list things that they're going to pray for. It helps them just to have listed things down. Make a little note. Okay, what have I got to pray about today? Write it down. Some people do that during the day or during the week or whatever. And then when they come to pray, they've got that list. So having a list, a prayer diary. Some people keep prayer diaries. And they make a note of what they've prayed for specifically. And then they look back, or a prayer journal, and look back to see how God has answered those prayers. And it helps them in their prayer time. Some people take a set time to pray. Some people, each day, whether it's been a morning or the evening, and they set a specific time and are disciplined in that prayer life. Some people like to go and walk to pray. I like being outside when I'm praying. I find that easier to do. Some people like to have prayer partners and pray with someone, or prayer groups. Some people find it easier to pray in groups. Some people find it easier to pray themselves. I think both are important, incidentally. Both are important. When two or three are gathered together, Jesus expected us to pray together. But also, when you go in your room and shut the door, Jesus expected us to pray alone as well. And he practiced both of these things. And of course, the Lord's Prayer is our guide in this. And I'll finish with this today, because this is the way that Jesus taught us. Learning how to pray. Jesus said, "Our Father in heaven." And so we remember that we're talking to the best dad ever. It's our dad. Prayer's so simple. Anyone can do it. Like a child talking to the dad. It was great to see the children just praying at the beginning. Children can do it. Do you know some of us don't like praying out loud in front of other people or in church? The children did that this morning. Children can teach us so much in such simple ways. It's just talking to our Father God. Don't need big words. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Remember and acknowledge just how great and powerful God is. And we've got access through Jesus. You know, before Joshua took the walls of Jericho and walked into Jericho and kind of marched down and went into Jericho, it says he took off his shoes before the commander of the Lord. He took off his shoes as a sign of respect to God, to honour God. Remember, hallowed be your name. Remember who we're talking to in that way as well. That balance of Father and knowing it's Almighty God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is God's will? I said earlier, we don't always know what to pray, because we're between earth and heaven and we're not quite sure which it is that God would, what God's will always is. But Romans 8 is good on this. Romans 8 verse 26 and 27 says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Just be aware of God's Spirit within you. And sometimes we don't know what to pray. So sometimes just close your mouth, listen, and let your Spirit speak to God and commune with God. Sometimes people speak in tongues. We've not got time to go into that today, but that's what they're doing as well, just communing with God and using words and don't understand what they're saying, but they're speaking in a tongue that God understands their heart, and that comes from the Spirit within. "Give us each day our daily bread." Bring basic essentials to God, this is, but also any specific needs of that day. And we still in our family always said, grace before our main meal of the day when we sat with family. It was just a simple way of just saying, thank you, God, for all we've got. Thank you for all your provision. Thanks for this food that we've got to eat together now. Just acknowledging God in the everyday things. Hard if you're rushing around and you're not eating together and you're kind of dashing all over the place. But can be a good discipline just to remember God in the everyday simple things and thank him for giving us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven everyone who sins against us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I'll tell you what, Jesus' words were pretty strong and down the line quite often, weren't they? The importance of forgiving other people. Do you know sometimes why we find it difficult to pray? Because of either sin in our own life, but also because of unforgiveness in our own life, where we are holding something against someone else. We need to forgive others. We could probably all put our hands up and say we've all been hurt at times by other people. But we all know that we need forgiveness, and they need forgiveness from us as well. And I know some of those things are really hard, but it's important. Prayer should be united to release blessing, and the worst thing is when we're together praying in disunity as well. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Remember that we're in a spiritual battle. We're not fighting each other, but Satan. And we need that daily armor in the battle that we're in. This is a spiritual battle. And prayer is spiritual as well. We come to pray not just as religious duty, but to join others in a spiritual battle. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Father, help us to learn how to pray. We confess our own weakness in this area, but also our desire to be better. It's for our benefit that we grow in this way. And I just ask you today that you'll help each one of us. In your name, Jesus. Amen.